up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be back.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, sorry you missed out on the snow.
not sorry. Yeah, for my opening joke, I was wondering, am I allowed to do an R-rated joke now that
no,
we're doing R-rated movies?
This is still a semi-kid show.
Oh, okay. Kids, don't watch Deadpool.
Don't watch Deadpool. we'll talk about it a little later, but I'm honestly surprised he didn't get an NC-17 on it. So, and last but certainly not least, we got Steve. Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Yeah, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got a couple fun shows going up, including in a couple weeks. We are going way back into my childhood for I'm going to call it a classic Christmas movie. and three of us are agreeing, and Pete's going,
I'm so excited.
So, this week, we watched Deadpool and Wolverine. First rated R show that we have done here on Plus Platoon.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Intentionally.
And it will not be setting a precedent. It will be, the rated R stuff we do will be very few and far between, if much ever. We just figured that this was big enough that we needed to watch it. Originally, I was not going to watch it because I had heard nothing but how bloody it is. I actually did watch it. Watched it this afternoon. Kate, I know you watched it for the first time this afternoon. Pete, did you watch it in the theaters?
I saw it in the theaters opening weekend because I wanted to not be spoiled, even though I was spoiled on a few things. And I saw about half of it a couple weeks ago at a friend's house. And then I watched all of it. So I've seen it 2.5 times.
Okay. And then Steve, how many times have you twice?
This was my second time. I saw it on a Disney cruise ship.
Oh, okay.
Right. Really?
With a bunch of 8-year-olds.
There was a few 8-year-olds and there were some lines where I was just shaking my head going...
Some of those lines the 8-year-olds would not have gotten.
No.
Yeah. Thankfully, they would not have gotten it. As far as storyline, I'm assuming if you're watching this, you have seen Deadpool and Wolverine, because if not, I will say it is very, very, very rated R. Language and sexual references and definitely violence. For violence, the violence reminded me of when He Who Remains, the guy who was doing the stuff at the TVA, mm-hmm. when his head would explode, or his head would, the blood and everything on him would fly out. That's what the violence reminded me of. It was so over the top, and so obviously the blood was so obviously CGI that it didn't look even close to real. Which no. I think is honestly part of the reason I didn't mind the violence, because it was very obvious, yeah, this is not happening.
It's very cartoon violence.
Very, yes.
It depends on the kid, obviously. I would more keep my kid away from this because of the language than it would because of the violence, even though the violence is pretty bad. It's just showing more blood than every other Marvel movie that, you know, kills hundreds of people, and then there's no blood. So
I would say I would almost rather say this is easier violence to watch than something like one of the Bourne Identity movies.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, again. Again, yeah.
But this, it's the cartoon violence versus right. The realistic violence.
Yeah. I agree with Derek because the Bourne Identity violence is that more realistic. And I'm like, Derek, I don't care for that. This was so over the top.
Have any of you watched Game of Thrones?
No.
Pete, did you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't like fantasy.
I don't like fantasy, and I don't have HBO or Cinemax or whichever one it's on.
I watched a little bit of the first season, and I didn't like it. So
Game of Thrones is what a little bit broke because it is so gory and so violent. It kind of broke me a little bit of my gore and violence. But I will agree that this was almost like comic book over the top, which it's a comic movie. Comic book over the top. It didn't in the part when Deadpool, the fancy Deadpool, the nice Deadpool, when his head explodes like that, I was just like, ew, all right.
Ew. I mean, but it's very decent. The opening scene very much desensitizes you to the and tells you the type of violence that it's going to be throughout. And it's just, again, so over the top and cartoony that.
Right. Well, and that's what we told Derek last week is we said, watch the first 5 minutes. If the first 5 minutes bother you, don't watch the movie. If you can get through the first 5 minutes and you don't mind it, then you can watch the movie. Cause it starts out right from the beginning and it stays at that level. Lots of, as you say, CGI gushing.
It was CGI violence. Yeah. It was.
My husband had me watch, cause I've seen Deadpool 1, but it was while we were watching through the Marvel Cinematic Universe 2 years ago, which is bonkers that was long ago. And so I didn't really remember. I've never seen Logan. I don't think I've seen any of the Wolverine movies because we didn't have to watch them for our Marvel watch through. And so I watched Deadpool 2 today and Deadpool and Wolverine. And I was sitting while I was watching Deadpool 2 before I watched Deadpool and Wolverine. I looked at Casey and I said, is it like cleaner than this? Is Deadpool and Wolverine like, because this is really racy and like, really like, and one of my favorite lines that I can't quote because it has the F word in it is it's the line when he says, I'm not going to say the word, but when he says, my favorite, suck it, Fox, I'm going to Disneyland, get effed. I was like, oh my God, Disney approved this. Like, anyway, I'm already jumping ahead. Go ahead, Derek.
The plot here is a relative term. the bottom line is the Deadpool's timeline and universe is looking to be gotten rid of because that's the same multiverse that Logan took place in, apparently. So he had to go find Wolverine to bring him back and save the universe. And at the same time, the TVA is heavily involved with the, like, they get sent to the void and there's like someone coming in and trying to create a timeline destroying machine that works between matter and antimatter. And
what's interesting is you more have to have seen Loki.
Yes.
Then have seen the X-Men movies or the Deadpool movies to understand what's going on in this movie.
Yeah. I have not seen any of the this is the only Deadpool movie I saw, and I have not seen any of the Wolverine movies or any of the other X-Men movies. I know who Wolverine is because, I'm a kid of the 90s, 80s and 90s. So, but if I had not known what the TVA was and not had known who those weirdos showing up at the very beginning were,
right,
I would have been so lost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, long story short, they end up coming back. They save it. They kill a whole bunch of people, including a whole bunch of other Deadpools. And, kill them. I mean, but everyone lives happily ever after, mostly. So, What about this was marvelous? And yes, I know I've used this before for Marvel stuff, but hey guys, I'm opening up this one just because I did not expect to find anything good for this. There was some stuff that made me laugh. There was some stuff that was funny. It wasn't all funny.
Yeah.
But the stuff that made me laugh was a lot of it was the fourth wall breaking. Like when they're fighting in the Honda and the first musical cue you get is from Greatest Showman. And then it flips to like two other songs that he has sung. Like, I think there was a clip from Oklahoma that played. Because he's done so much on Broadway. Has he been in Greece on Broadway at all?
I don't think so.
I don't think he has. So. Kate's going to look. So, but then, you know, talking about him jumping into the second act of Music Man. He did a Music Man. He's done the Music Man. And just some of those references, semi-obscure references, but to other things, that's when the fourth wall breaking worked for me, is it was the little almost throwaway lines rather than the directly to camera pitches. So to me, the best part for me was the humor mostly worked. Okay. Kate, what worked about it for you?
Oh my gosh. The one-liners that, I mean, I kept messaging our group the line because I wanted to remember them, the line that made me laugh out loud. The entire sequence where they end up in the void and there's a giant 20th Century Fox sign. The dog, the freaking dog, man. Dog
poop. Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Are you joking?
Mary Poppins. Like, Mary Poppins.
Admittedly, I am not a huge fan of gore. I don't tend to, action movies are not my, says the girl who binge watches Grey's Anatomy. Like, and there's plenty of medical gore on that. But I don't tend
to. And that's different.
Yes. I don't tend to go to super action movies as my like, oh, I'm just going to watch this today. This had me laughing out loud, but it also had moments that made you think. It had moments where Wolverine does have his like, no, tell her to take off the helmet. Like, we're not killing people. It's just, oh my God, the cameos. So good. What, Derek?
And I will say, as someone who has not watched a ton of the other Marvel stuff, I got the
spoiler alert to anyone listening.
No, we know this. We've told this one. Yeah. I got the is it the Reed Richard, the Human Torch one? I got that. Yeah,
Fantastic Four
ones. I got the Elektra. I was just waiting for Ben Affleck to show up as Daredevil and them just kill him immediately.
That was my favorite. One of my favorite jokes, though, was when like Deadpool is asking about other people and you know, they say that Deadpool had died or Daredevil had died and Deadpool goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And Elektra goes, eh, it's fine.
Or when he goes, he's like something about the Punisher, which one? There's been like four, like just, and I'll wait to say that one. Or when he goes through and he's killing all the other Deadpools and he shows the script of Green Lantern and he's like, it's perfect. And then he'd get shot. And then he goes, you're welcome, Canada. Like, because it is an ongoing joke. And Ryan Reynolds jokes about this, how bad the Green Lantern movie is.
Right.
Like, he wishes that he could. So the cameos were so good. The jokes, man, the jokes. That's just so good. I laughed a lot. Pete, you go.
Yeah, I mean, having watched the first half of this three times now, like, I thought seeing in the theaters, I was like, okay, this is a lot of fun, but this movie is not going to have good rewatchability because you know the cameos are going to be coming, and you and it's really, there's not that much there. but it's so funny. And there's so many jokes that I think have not that I'm going to watch this movie 100 times or anything like that, but rewatching it, I forgot some of the jokes. There's enough jokes there that you don't remember them all. And so that's definitely what works the best about the movie. And the joke hit ratio is pretty high. Like not all of them land, but a lot of them land. And even the ones that don't land, like the second time through, the one that struck me was when Gambit's talking, it's like, who's your dialect coach, the Minions?
I laughed out loud because I was getting ready to say to Casey, he sounds terrible. He is a terrible Gambit. And then he's like, who is your dialect coach? I died. Talking about going and missing things, Derek and I were watching this almost at the exact same time, except I have Disney Plus with commercials, so I fell behind him a little bit. But Derek, you said that they made a Paul Rudd reference, and I missed it.
Man, Paul Rudd's finally aged.
Yeah.
Yes. When the little thing opens and you see the skull.
Yeah. Paul Rudd finally aged.
See, I you're right, Pete, that you got to go back because you miss.
Yeah. A lot of it's set up there. The fourth wall, the one-liners. I think the opening with the music and just the fighting matching up, hilarious. The music was right up in my alley. Like, just the music choices and the action that's happening on the screen. And I think, like Pete, the second time I watch it, I think there's so much. There's things I know I missed the first time that I caught this time because there's so much coming flying at you.
Yeah.
As someone who this is the only one they've seen, would I have recognized some of the other Deadpools from the other Deadpool movies?
No.
He's the only Deadpool or any. The
baby that was Deadpool. His wife, Blake Lively.
Okay. She did the voice.
Yeah.
Of
the female one.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't recognize any of them.
Okay. I didn't know if any of those had been in any others type thing.
No, none of the Deadpools were in other ones. Most of them were from the comics. But
yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was from the comics, and especially like talking about like, oh, they finally let you wear the suit, because they were joking about that, you know, they kept.
Oh yeah,
the X-Men movies, they had to wear black because that was, you know, they were afraid to make a comic accurate suit.
Yeah, they couldn't make it yellow and blue. Yeah.
Yeah. And like when they first I was watching this with my daughter who hasn't seen any of the X-Men movies. And when Wolverine's like down on all fours running, she's like, that's kind of goofy. Does he really run like that? And I was like, that's from the comics.
That's from the comics. Yeah.
Yeah. He never did that in the movies, but
so. Okay, now, what about this was an evil mutant? This was the first huge introduction of a true mutant into a Marvel movie. And so what about this, though, was an evil mutant? What about this did not work? And Kate, I'll let you start with this one.
I have never professed to not have a potty mouth, ever. When I am around in safe environments around people I trust, I curse. There's just so much cursing. It's almost
a Martin Scorsese film.
It's just a lot. It's almost borderline too much. It's not, but it's like as close as you can get to being like. Like, I can remember years ago, watching a Dane Cook stand-up comedy show. And after watching it, I was like, if I never hear the F word again, it's just too much. Like, it's too much. But this, by the end, I was like, okay. All right. We're cursing a lot. I also struggled. And this is not new information. We all know Kate struggles. Confused Kate comes out when there's any sort of timey-wimey or world university travel. I get confused. And I got confused during I you couldn't look down or you would miss something that would make the rest of it make sense. So I got a little bit confused, but that's not the movie's fault. That's my fault. That's just because I struggle with timey-wimey world universe-y travel-y. And I really didn't like Channing Tatum as Gambit.
So do.
That was the only like acting call that I was like.
Was he ever as that in another movie?
I don't think so.
So he's been trying to get a Gambit movie made for like 12 years.
Okay.
So that was the joke, was that they wouldn't let, Fox didn't let him. Well, actually, he was going to make a movie with Fox and they had it ready to go. And then Disney bought him and they canceled the movie. But he was doing Gambit way over the top, obviously, in this
movie. Okay. So that was like a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. He was doing like super Cajun accent, which Gambit is Cajun, but he was like, you know, again, he was playing, Frenchie. They were playing the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes it make a little more sense. Cause that was the only acting that I was like, this is borderline offensive. Like, it's real bad. But other than that, man, this movie made me laugh. I don't have a lot negative to say about it. Go ahead, Pete.
So it's funny, like, usually when there's this much fan service in a movie, it annoys me. And some of it still annoyed me a little bit, but I don't know. It because they were taking the piss out of it so much, maybe that's why it didn't bother me as much as it should have. But I would say on the first time I watched it, there's a lot of moments in the movie where they kind of like in that scene where Elektra and Blade and Gambit come in, and they come in slow motion and everything like that. And when you're in a theater full of people and everybody's like, and no one knows it's coming, you know, everybody's like, but then watching it again, it's like, yeah, this plays to a crowd, but just like in the movie, having this slow motion moment is kind of stupid. So there were moments like that like on rewatch were like, yeah, if you know it's coming, this doesn't really work so well.
It might have worked better if he had then commented, wow, you guys came in and it took you guys a long time to come in, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. But it still worked pretty well for me. The other thing, it didn't bother me so much till someone pointed it out to me, that the previous Deadpools created these characters, which we see at the beginning and then again at the end, but they, other than Peter, and even he didn't have that much. They sidelined all the other characters, and it's kind of disappointing because some of those characters were very fun, that because we had to focus so much on Deadpool and Wolverine, we couldn't give those characters, none of those characters were major characters in one and two, but it would have been nice to have seen a little more or given them a little more to do than what ended up happening there. I did enjoy seeing Peter, my third favorite Marvel Peter.
Who are your first two? Peter Parker and
Peter Quill. We've gone over this before. Well, I've said who my first and second were before. So yeah. That's a callback for anyone that watches our show a lot. It's a popular name in the Marvel universe. Sorry, Steve.
That's fine. I'm going to be like Derek this time. I feel like some of the fight scenes just went on for way too long. Like, you got your humor out of it, and you could have been done. I mean, I think like I said, they're like, okay, are you done? I think for the second time watching it, it's sort of like some of it just didn't hit as much. I sort of got bored in some parts when it drug. It's like, come on, let's get to the other part. But it was really some of the fight scenes just went on way too long.
Yeah. So for me, having not watched any of the previous Deadpools, I was a little lost as far as who all those people were at the beginning. The good news is I didn't really need to know anything about them because they were completely superfluous.
Yeah.
There the plot, as I said, the plot was very weak. Very weak. And it took a long time to get to that very weak plot. I messaged these guys. I was about 15, 20 minutes in going, when are we getting to a plot? Because it's 20, 25 minutes in until we even figure out, okay, why he has to go find Wolverine. So, and then it did not need to be a 2-hour movie. They could have cut some of the fighting, and it's down to about an hour 40, and that's probably a little bit closer, a little bit tighter. Could have kept the story just a little bit tighter as it was. You could have cut a little bit from the beginning. You could have cut some of the fight scenes that actually worked the best were the Wolverine and Deadpool fighting each other scenes. Those were the scenes that I actually preferred over the fights at What's-Her-Face's place. The fights at the Ant-Man Kent compound.
Right, yeah.
Cassandra.
Then the whole plot with the TVA and the time scrambler or whatever it was didn't make sense unless this is pre-Loki.
Well, what they were saying was Paradox was going against the new TVA.
Right.
But still doesn't make a... You're right, it still doesn't make a lot of sense.
No more sacred timeline after Loki.
Right. Right. But what he was saying is he wants to go back to the old ways.
Right. And I understood that. Yeah, but to keep talking about the different sacred timelines, and he wasn't the only one that mentioned sacred timeline, was he?
Right. Yeah.
So it's that didn't quite match up with me. And I'm going, okay, I know that Loki is one of the few things I knew coming into this. But yeah, it just, there were parts that did not, it was not the best thing that Marvel has ever put out. As far as a plot and being able to tell a story.
Yeah, I'll say though, none of the Deadpool movies have much of a story.
Okay.
I mean, would you guys agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The second one doesn't have a great storyline.
No,
it's more about the humor and breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we saw how well that worked in She-Hulk.
It definitely works better with Deadpool than it did in She-Hulk. Yeah.
And that I would definitely agree with, that it does work better in.
I will say I was a little bit surprised that Deadpool did not make a comment on the fact that Juggernaut is humongous in the second Deadpool movie. And he is not humongous in this movie.
Right.
And so I was really like, when Juggernaut came on, I was like, wait a minute. Is that him? And Casey was like, yeah, they're pulling more from the comics where he's not quite as big. And I was like, I am shocked that Deadpool did not have some snide comment about, like, you've lost a little weight and a little height and a little muscle, like something. It just surprised me.
Now, this. And so all the Deadpool movies have been rated R. Punisher is not considered MCU, and it is incredibly bloody from what I hear.
Worse than this because it's more real.
I would agree.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The original Daredevil off of Netflix, has that been kind of shoehorned in or not?
It's, none of the Fox stuff is canon. Except,
even though they're using some of the same people,
yeah. None of the Fox stuff is considered canon to the MCU until this, and even here, it's happening in a different universe, right? So
98% of it, anyway, except for that scene of "I want to be an Avenger,"
right?
Which again, that scene went on too long, but
it did. But I did like when the chauffeur comments,
yeah. So my question for the group is, should movies that are rated R and movies and shows not necessarily be in the MCU, but be vital to have important plot points in the MCU? So can they have the MCU characters? That can be one way to look at it. But the other one is, should you have to have know the information from them in order for the MCU to continue to make sense? And Kate, I'm going to go ahead and start with you on this one, too. No, sorry. I'll give you time to think because you look like you need a little time to think. Steve, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say yes if the movie, to make sense and does well, needs the R rating to get the story told well, then yes.
Okay.
Because I mean, that's how I look at it. It's, can you, do you need that rating to make the movie? I mean, I know it's taking away, well, actually it's not. Come on. My fourth and fifth graders go to R-rated movies all the time. I mean, it's not going to stop them, but I think, do you need it to still tell the good story? If not, then make it PG, make it PG-13.
And I would argue, if nothing we have seen so far in the MCU, except for Deadpool, is rated R, then to cross over to that R-rated level is not needed to make it a good story. Because I don't know what could happen that you have to have for the story that you have to show on screen that we have not already seen on screen, because nothing MCU has been rated R to this point. Okay, nothing of the Avengers and the main storyline has been rated R to this point. You talk about, you know, fourth and fifth graders going and seeing R-rated movies, that kind of stuff. Again, I'm thinking like 4 and 5 year olds, because I know when I was, you know, when my nephew was much younger, had you know, talked, knew who Iron Man was, and would play Marvel for hours when he was 4, 5, and 6 years old. And PG-13 stuff, again, is right on that line of, yes, there's some blood and guts, but it's not nearly, it's not the uber graphic stuff that you can cross into. Because once you cross that R line, it's almost like people stop trying to hold back at all. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So, yep.
I would argue that if you have to have the R rating, I have yet to see something that has the R rating that it was a must to tell the story of something that the rest of the set, the rest of the stories it went into was not rated R. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, Kate, how about you? What do you think?
This is hard. This is hard because Marvel does, you know, what has Marvel ever like come out and said, like, we are a family movie. This is a family movie franchise. Have they ever said that? Because if I remember correctly, Endgame and Infinity War were heavy.
Oh. They
rated R because of nudity or vulgarity or cursing. But those weren't kids' movies. You could have the same argument with the Harry Potter movies. And I know that they're not Disney, but the Harry Potter movies are dark, especially toward the end. And the books are, they're not kids' books. They're not kids' movies. So
dark and rated R are not the same thing.
I understand. So I guess the part of the reason why this is a hard question for me to answer is because I don't think it has to be rated R to get the point across. However, you can't have Deadpool without the vulgarity. It doesn't work. And I will say, if Punisher should be rated R if it isn't.
It's TVMA. So it is.
Okay. Because it the Punisher
might even be TV-17.
Yeah, I think the Netflix shows were the R version of TV.
Okay.
but again, weren't considered MCU.
Right. I just know that of everything we watched, even though they weren't considered, that was by far the hardest for me to watch and stomach. It was hard.
There was stuff in Daredevil that I would have called R rated.
Yeah. Yeah. There were sequences. And Jessica Jones too.
Yeah.
I think you can get the point across without having to have the vulgarity. This is hard because, but then if you take it out of Deadpool, it's you lose what we loved about Deadpool.
Well, I will say the movie that you will not see watching Deadpool on a TV edit would be like watching Blazing Saddles on a TV edit. Blazing Saddles on a TV edit should really be about 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
Now they show it, but that is right. One where that is one of the few where the vulgarity makes. And specifically, right. the one word that they use, the vulgarity makes the movie.
Right.
So
I don't know. I don't.
That's a little counterpoint, Pete.
I don't know my. I don't know how I feel, Pete. What do you think?
So I think in general, there's no reason to make MCU movies R-rated. Just like there's no reason to make Star Wars movies R-rated. You're making it for a broad audience. The exception is when the story or the character would require it for whatever reason. And honestly, I don't know the depth of all of Marvel to know what other things would. Deadpool is to me the exception of the rule because as the character, he has like, if you neuter Deadpool, you get Deadpool from Wolverine's Origins, which is a terrible version of Deadpool. And everybody hated it.
Ben Affleck.
Well, no, it was Ryan Reynolds. It was Ryan Reynolds played Deadpool in X-Men's Origin, Wolverine Origin, or whatever. That movie was terrible in general. But but other than that, there's not one. I mean, there's been 30 of these movies now. There's not one that should have been R because of something or other. I mean, and even Wolverine. Logan was rated R, and it was very bloody violent, and it honestly didn't need to be. It was a very, very good, that was a very, very good movie, very emotionally intense, and you know, probably one of the best comic book movies out there, which is why they talked about like desecrating the memory of it, because it's it's very popular with people and everything like that. I think in general, I don't know why they would need to do this. I mean, Feige did say in the past that they aren't planning on doing any R-rated movies until Deadpool came along, and then they were like, well, we got to do this R-rated. This movie would not have worked.
Correct.
No. But because of the humor more than the violence, you didn't need the bloodiness of the violence in this movie to make it entertaining. They could have taken that out.
Yeah.
But the language still would have been there, so would have been R-rated. So, because as I said, you had to have the language. I think in general, I agree with you that they should generally not. These movies are intended for families, for kids. As I said, I'll argue they're not. A lot of them aren't meant for 5-year olds, but they're out there watching them anyways. But they should be for. A 10-year-old me would have loved the MCU movies, and sitting in a theater with my daughter watching Endgame, she was 16 or 17 at the time, and she'd been through all the MCU, and she liked these movies, and like watching her enjoying it, I was thinking, this is her Star Wars or Raiders of the Lost Ark or Back to the Future or whatever. These are her movies that she'll look back on and be like, these were the movies that I remember having the best time in the theater watching, you know? So I think it makes little sense to make them R-rated to restrict the people that are going to be going to see them. So,
yeah. Okay. Now, as we always do, cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Deadpool and Wolverine. Kate.
We'll give it a 3.
Having watched it the 2.5 times, after first viewing, I probably would give it a 3.5, but I actually got to give it a 4 because I would turn it on again. So, I got to call this a 4. It's not, certainly not the greatest Marvel movie. but it's rewatchable. So 4.
For me, 3.5. Very enjoyable, funny.
And for me, based on what I've been giving stuff somewhat lately, I'm gonna go 2.5. Mainly because it's better. Yeah, I know, Kate. Before the show, Kate, you know, predicted somewhere between a 2 and 2.5. And to be fair, she had a little bit of an inside knowledge just because she and I were messaging back and forth while we were watching the movie. But I was between a 2 and a 2.5. It started out as a 2, but then when I went back and looked at some of the other stuff I've rated that way lately, I had to bump it up to a 2.5. So, because I would watch this before, I would watch this before Love Bug again. So it's things along those lines. So, okay. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We just have one thing for the Disney Plus news, and that is that Ahsoka season 2 will be coming to the service when Disney decides that we've gone long enough without suffering. But the showrunner said that season 2 will come to a definite end with the understanding that a season 3 will be very unlikely. And that's it for the Disney
Plus. So that tells me either they're going to finally be happy or they're going to finally get reunited or someone's going to die or all three.
Yeah, they won't.
I vote 2 out of the 3.
They're not going to kill Ahsoka.
Well, no, because Rosario Dawson sells tickets. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars shows, next week we are trying something in the world now for something completely different. Star Wars Skeleton Crew, which is basically going to follow a group of kids who, from the previews, looks like they find this spaceship, climb in, and it hyperspace and it hyper jumps somewhere to where Jude Law is going to come in and adopt all of them. So, it looks a whole lot, doesn't look too serious. It doesn't look scary. It doesn't look too deep. Realistically, it looks like it's going to be a kid's adventure movie. So, or show.
Yeah, they talk about when the makers talk about it, they talk about like the Goonies and the 80s kids going on an adventure type movies. And if it can capture that tone right, I think that would be pretty soft, pretty entertaining. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Am I the only one on here that doesn't really like the Goonies?
I actually don't like the Goonies.
So. I don't like the Goonies.
Don't ever see the Goonies.
I've meant to watch it for years, and I've just never.
You're not
missing anything.
It's a big time boys thing, and
Goonies never say die, right? That's never say die. Goonies
never say die. Yes. I rewatched it. I showed it to my daughter. She liked it okay. It's kind of more of a boys movie than a girls movie also. And as an adult watching it,
it's hard to watch.
I found the characters very annoying. So I'm not a gigantic fan of the Goonies, but the concept behind that, like kids going on adventure, E.T. might be another example, or, you know, any of those movies. Oh, don't do that to E.T.
Oh, I can definitely do that.
I like E.T.
No, I liked the Goonies mainly because part of it was shot in Oregon. So,
oh, well, yeah.
I've seen a lot of like the actual shots and stuff. So I recognize that. So
that's the case. I'd like Mars Attacks because it was shot in Wichita, Kansas. So, you know, but
I love Mars Attack.
Not a good movie.
But that's the purpose behind it.
And that is a camp movie that's meant to be like terrible. So, but okay. If you have suggestions on stuff for us to watch, we've only got a couple more shows this season, but before we take our winter break. But next season, we're going to need some suggestions just because there's not a ton coming out, especially not a ton that looks decent at all. So, email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. We have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.